Very well. Thanks, John, for handling that for us. We'll return now to the petition. We're back to 6, 7, 8, and 9, all four petitions submitted by Dana Rogers. Is there any other questions or discussion about, we'll just start off with number 6, the archery elk license. Commissioner Beast.
Commissioner Beast, Tom, has there been a look into expanding archery instead of adding tags to the Black Hills, putting archery into the rest of the elk units? Because if you'd go 25% for any and 10% on cow tags and the remaining units, that would greatly increase the numbers of tags for archers.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
Commissioner Beast, and I might have John Canty interject here as well. I do know that there's been discussions in respect to other opportunities when it comes to elk hunting and archery hunting for elk, even beyond just the Black Hills. John, I see you're joining here as well. Can you add any other details that you could share with the commissioners that have been discussed with the elk stakeholder group and the work group in respect to some of those additional opportunities looking into the future?
Yeah, thank you, Tom. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, Secretary Roebling, John Canta, Terrestrial Section Chief. Yeah, so there, in the Black Hills, there are two units that we currently don't offer archery hunting opportunity. That'd be Units 4 and 9. Those units are almost entirely private land. And one of the reasons that we're not offering that opportunity there, and let me say that we have in the past, and what we ended up with was a few hunters with archery licenses that had nowhere to hunt. And, you know, we do work with those landowners. In fact, we meet with them yearly to discuss elk management and what we're doing with elk in those units. And they've the majority of those landowners would tell us that they don't care to have archery elk hunters on their properties. They'll certainly work with us on the rifle hunters, but you know, they're out to in most cases, just knock some elk down to alleviate some of the damage that they're having on their properties. And they don't feel that archery elk hunting, you know, gets the job done there. So that's in the Black Hills. Now, the same could be said for the most part out in the prairie unit. One area that we, you know, it's kind of new that I guess we haven't discussed recently would be the Harding County area, where we do have a, you know, a significant amount or a fair amount of public property up there with the Custer-Gallatin National Forest. Now, again, very limited licenses up there. If we did offer archery licenses, I think it would be minimal, and I'm not sure how those would be received by landowners up in that area. But when it comes down to it, the reason that the main reason that we're not offering those there is just trying to work with those landowners and not put sportsmen and women and landowners at odds when there's really not a lot of opportunity there.
Commissioner Reese here again. I would think in some of those areas where we're obviously have more elk and are wanting them knocked down, that they would be more willing to work with CF&P and put archers in there to help that get that accomplished.
Commissioner Beast, this is Tom Kirschman again, and certainly those conversations will continue with those landowners and looking at those opportunities. Again, I think what happens in some of those locations where population numbers is an issue and depredation is an issue, it's the effectiveness and the timeliness of going in and removing the animals, and I think that is probably some of the reasons why the archery has been limited from that perspective. But it's certainly something that we can continue to look at and see if we can find some additional opportunities out there via archery.
And Mr. Chair, Commissioner Beast, Tom is exactly right. We do meet with those landowners at least on an annual basis. And so each time that we meet with them, that's always a topic of discussion, and we'll continue to bring that up and look for those opportunities. Because if we can work that out and even identify some specific landowners that would allow that, that's absolutely an opportunity that we want to pursue, and we will we'll definitely take that up.
Commissioner Sharp.
Thank you, Commissioner Sharp here. I think one of the challenges I have with all these petitions, I think they're well thought out, and Dana always does an incredible job of making a good presentation and giving us really good information. I think the timing is just not right. One of the things that I've been frustrated with is being a commissioner is we tend to vote on something thinking we're covering it, and then we spend the next 3 or 4 or 5 years tweaking it, adding to it, and taking it away. It's like building the perfect building and then remodeling it every year for the next 10 years. I mean, you eventually end up with something that kind of serves your purpose, but not really in the way you intended. And my view of all these petitions is these need to be part of our conversation starting this fall when we do the promised 3-year review of the DEER plan that we had some very robust discussions on, you know, a little over 3 years ago. I think they need to be part of this because archery has grown to the point that I think we need to take a serious look at how we are managing archery in the state as well as how we're doing the rifles. So why these are great proposals, I'm just saying I can't support them at the present time, but I do plan to make sure they are part of our big game discussion that's going to start this fall, because I think they've got some really good ideas that are worthy of discussion. So that's kind of my feeling on that.
Additional comments or questions, Mr. Chair? Commissioner Whitmire.
Yeah, John, this is, it really isn't pertinent to any particular thing here, but kind of overall question. When it comes to archery tags are archery only, but when it comes to drawing a firearm tag for deer or elk, is an archery hunter can actually apply for those and use that tag with archery equipment for the deer for sure, and is that also with elk? If you had the opportunity to draw an elk tag, can you actually utilize that with an archery with archery equipment?
Well, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Whitmire, yes. So that would be the case. It's any lesser weapon, again, provided, of course, that it meets the requirements for each of those weapons. You know, with foot-pounds of energy in the case of rifles, and you know, the restrictions with arrow length and so on and so forth with the archery requirements for elk.
Okay, thank you. Yes, sometimes we talk about firearms if it's rifle only, but actually archers have that opportunity at all of those firearm licenses plus the specific archery. So I just want to make that clarification when we start discussing archery versus firearms. Thank you.
Additional questions or comments on archery elk licenses number 6? We're going to take these one at a time. Any other questions or comments on that one? If not, the chair would entertain a motion.
Sharp would move to deny.
It's been a motion to deny by Commissioner Sharp. Is there a second?
I second the motion.
There's a second discussion on the motion.
Just a little follow up that I also believe everything, you know, that's done here, we should do responsibly and take it as a package and not commit to a certain segment at this time. And we're so close to looking at the overall deer management specifically this fall. I think we're so close. It'd be unfortunate if we kind of pigeonholed ourselves in on one aspect at this time until we look at all of it. It's really a good time. I think Dana and his organization did a wonderful job at putting their proposal together, and appreciate that. And I'm sure Tom and the rest of us will find that to be useful this fall when we look at the overall picture. But it just isn't the right time. I'm sure, pretty sure of that.
Thank you. Additional comments?
Chairman?
Mr. Spring.
I think that I totally agree that I think that the department should get started on it really early so we ain't trying to cram it in February, March, or April, and come and stuff that's done. I think we could get some of the meetings going a little bit earlier like it did with the offline chair. And a lot of discussion there. I don't want to put it on too long.
Thank you. Any other comments? We have a motion to deny All in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Number seven, non-resident archery antelope licenses. Questions or comments? Seeing none, I'd entertain a motion.
Sharp, I move to deny.
Been a motion by Sharp to deny. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Larkin. Discussion on the motion. Seeing none, all in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Non-resident archery deer licenses, number eight. Discussion. Action.
Sharp, I move to deny.
Been a motion by Sharp, seconded by Vies to deny. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor indicate by saying aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Number nine, big game license fees. Been a motion by Vies to deny. Seconded by Whitmire. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion also carries.
Mr. Chairman, again, Tom Kirschman, myself and John Canta and other staff will work with John Katilnik to put together the actual formal resolution that you'll have to take action on. We'll get going on that right away so that you can take that action here yet this afternoon. Just a couple of quick comments, if I may, Mr. Chair, following up on all these discussions. Again, agree and appreciate the topics that were brought forward by Dana and SDBI. They are good topics, and they do deserve the due diligence, and we will include these conversations and these matters brought forward in our upcoming conversations. Number one, as we talked about the deer drawing structure and that analysis and review, we have staff starting to pull some data out right now as we begin some of the drawings for deer. Our main deer drawing is going to be happening here in just a few days, actually, and so we're going to have a lot more information at that time. We will start generating all of those numbers in over the three-year period, and we'll start bringing that information in front of you here late this summer, early fall, ready to start those conversations. I don't have a concrete date for you right now, but those conversations are going to begin soon. We're going to have a lot of data and information, which is going to lead to further discussions and potentially further adjustments. And so we want to have adequate time and that we can do the due diligence that it deserves. The last piece that I would share with you, you know, a lot of discussion here revolved around archery hunting. And we've certainly witnessed and seen in the comments been made how we have seen the popularity of archery hunting continue to increase, which is fantastic. We're seeing a lot of people in the outdoors and enjoying a great opportunity. One of the things that we talked about in the whole deer drawing structure and talking about archery deer hunters is we always need to be careful that we're not, quote unquote, pigeonholing one group over another. Because what we do know in South Dakota is we have well over probably 30,000 deer hunters, but there are some that like to hunt deer with different weapons or through different seasons. When we went through that review process a couple of years ago, we had about 4,000 individuals that were only archery deer hunters, and that's the only deer tag that they would apply for was archery. But the vast, vast majority of our hunters in South Dakota are deer hunters and use the various weapons. And we need to do that same type of analysis with elk and antelope as well as we continue to see the popularity, the interest, and the number of applications and the desire for more licenses. I would venture to guess a lot of our folks are avid deer, elk, and antelope hunters and looking at opportunities beyond for both firearm, archery, muzzleloader, whatever weapon they decide to use. And so those are all pieces of information that we need to look at as well, because we have a lot of big game hunters that are not just archery hunters, they're not just rifle hunters, they're actually big game hunters and use multiple weapons of choice while they're out there enjoying the outdoors. So those will be pieces of information that we will bring to you and have further discussion as well. And so thank you for the discussion, the questions, and we will work on those resolutions to bring forward to you, Mr. Chair.
Very well. Commissioner Sharp.
Commissioner Sharp here. Thanks, Tom. I guess One thing I would ask, and I'm sure it's assumed, but Commissioner Spring brought up a really good point. We are really working with 2 years of information, so we are only waiting for the third year of information on the deer drawing statistics. And I would like to see, from a reasonable standpoint, and I'm just kind of picking numbers here, but what our deer draw or deer, elk, and antelope draw numbers were for rifle and archery from 2005 to 10, 2010 to 15, and 2015 to 20. See how those numbers changed versus how the population of each one of those has changed. To kind of see the effect on, increased in popularity against, the available game that we have out there. Because I know we've had weather events, we've had various other things happen in the last 10 years that could affect our populations. But I think having that kind of historical data to kind of look at, to see the effects of our increased popularity in hunting on the population would be beneficial for the commission. So the sooner we could see those kind of numbers without drawing necessarily conclusions and having recommendations based on those numbers, I think the earlier the commission sees that, the better off we'll be and be able to have a more robust discussion this fall when we start the process. So if that could happen, that'd be great. Thank you.
Commissioner Sharp, this is Tom, and yes, we can make that happen. We have a lot of that information already pulled together as we've done previous reviews, and we'll make sure to have all those details available for you.
Thank you.
Commissioner Locken.
Yes, Commissioner Locken here. Mr. Kirschman, what would be the time frame on looking at the one of the petitions had to do with big game license fees? What would be the timetable on that? Would that coincide with some of the other stuff? Or remind me on that, when that would be looked at and set.
Yeah, Commissioner Locken, when we look back in time and history of reviewing and looking at license fee adjustments, we have typically done that into the late summer, early fall. And so that would coincide with the timing of a lot of these discussions happening and going on. So that would probably be the appropriate time. The reason that we have typically done that, again, that's in historical perspective, is that we have those conversations during that time frame so that if adjustments are put in place, that they would be finalized and ready to go when the new license year begins, which is December 15th for our licensing year. And that way, as big game seasons, for example, start out in the spring of 2022, any type of license adjustments and fees, if they were put in place, would be in place ready to go. So late summer, early fall is typically the time frame that we talk about license fees and potential adjustments.
Thank you.
Tom, do we have somewhere on our website that would tell people when the different management groups are set to get back together and or when the plans are going to expire? So it would help. I think obviously with Mr. Rogers and his group, they've got a familiarity with our processes. But if you're, John Q. Public and you don't know that, oh, I'm going to bring this proposal and we're set to review that plan in a number of months, it may help save some time and effort on people's partners. Do we have something like that? I've never noticed.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, one of the things that we have done over the years is when we put out there, put the calendar year schedule of what seasons are being brought forward for proposal and finalization, we typically try to include any management plans that are going to be updated. Now, from the perspective of work group and stakeholder groups, we haven't posted them per se several months out in advance because we're really focused on the individuals and the groups that are participating in them. But we can look at ways to do better on that and make sure that that word's getting out. Typically, again, when the management plans and topics that come with it, they're being discussed in advance for several months. We bring the concept to you, then we put it out for public comment before we bring it back to you for adoption or finalization. So we do our very best to get that word out that folks can have input and share thoughts and ideas with some of the adjustments or direction that those management plans are going. So we'll go back and look at that and see if there's more that we could do, Mr. Chairman, to put that out for the public to be aware of. When it comes to a lot of these management plans, typically we have these main NGOs at least have a representation at the table as part of those stakeholder groups. But certainly we don't have each and every group that exists out there, but we'll try to do our best to get that word out so people can provide public comment.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yep.